Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Hour 2 of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, throughout this hour, we will be discussing Matt Rhule, top five Big Ten coach, Nebraska's wide receivers. Will that position group make the biggest improvement of any position group on the Husker squad this fall? But this time, I want to bring on our special guest. All right. He works for Fox, FX, and Fox College Football. He also was the Pac-10 Offensive Player of the Year, number 3 overall pick in the NFL draft, and played 7 years in the NFL, Mr. Joey Harrington. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Dude, I appreciate you taking the time. I'm excited to get your thoughts on a few things. And I want to start right out the gate with, as you look ahead to college football this fall, it seems to be a lot of, you know, the post-spring top 25. It seems to be Texas and Penn State. And those seem to be kind of the two teams that are in the top three, top one post-spring polls that you're kind of seeing right now. What's your take on who you think the top, like, best four or five teams are in college football, you know, at this way early point in the offseason?
Do you want my honest answer on this?
Absolutely.
College football has gotten to a point where there's only 12 teams that are even relevant. And I'll say within those, you know, 12 teams, it's going to vary year to year, and it's going to vary month to month, and it's going to vary whether or not someone chooses to opt out of his contract, you know, thinking that he deserves $4 million instead of $2.5 million. It's going to vary whether or not somebody gets hurt. It's going to vary whether, like, and so I've never been a big fan, or I should say I've never really gotten hyped up on recruiting and all that stuff, you know, years ago, because I was always of the belief, like, hey, you strap it up at Autzen, you know, once you strap it up on Autzen Stadium, then I can make an evaluation. Then I can tell you what I think, because I have something to work with. It's not all hype. It's not all, hey, this kid was a 5-star. This guy's a great transfer. But now I don't want to say I'm less interested, but it has definitely created this, I don't know, like, let me ask you this question. Why do you love, and I'm assuming that you do, but why did you love college basketball?
College basketball?
Do you enjoy college basketball. Do you enjoy watching March Madness?
I do. For me, college basketball was less about the regular season. I would always follow Nebraska. I'd keep an eye out for Duke, North Carolina. Then when the conference tournaments rolled around, then for me, things got really, really exciting. I assume you're going to point out the difference for college football, but go ahead. I'll let you do it.
Well, so what was the best part about March Madness?
Well, the upsets. That was the best part for me. Yeah.
Right. And because of the way college athletics are now set up, that will never happen again until it's been changed. And not just in college basketball, but it's going to happen. It's happening in college football as well. The rich are truly going to continue to get richer. Right. So whether it's Penn State or Texas or Ohio State or Oregon or Michigan or Georgia, I don't want to say it's like, you know, flip of the coin, who cares? But like there's almost kind of a, you asked me who I think is going to be, this is kind of the basis of the question. Who do I think is the better of the two? Hell, I don't know. I don't, and until we kind of get into November and it's like, all right, like, let's just see how this all kind of plays out. Like, my interest has been diminished because of the way that college football has been allowed to, I'll say, erode the, I don't know, the competitiveness, erode the, geez, am I making sense?
Oh, you 100% make sense. It's becoming more top heavy. It's becoming Big Ten. It's becoming SEC. And I've said it a million times on this show, so I'll give an incredibly short explanation of what I've said a million times. It's going to eventually become the top 40 to 50 teams. The Big Ten, the SEC, they're just going to get stronger, which is great for us. I mean, you're a former Oregon guy. We're a Nebraska guy. This is phenomenal for the sport as a whole. What if you're an Oklahoma State guy? What if you're a North Carolina State guy? Although they're kind of attached to North Carolina, who's going to find a home eventually if it's not in the ACC. And it's become those top 40, 50 teams, two conferences with pods, otherwise known as divisions. And then you got your Big Ten SEC champions eventually down the road playing for a national title. And everyone else either goes away or kind of has their own thing. And to me, it's NFL-like, it's NFL-esque, and that's great. I liked college football because it was unique. It was different. The regular season mattered. Every game mattered. I mean, dude, okay, I watched.
Okay, but let me ask you this. When you say top 40 or 50 teams in the Big Ten, do you really think that Northwestern has an opportunity? Do you really think that Maryland can compete? And I'm going to ask you this point blank, and I know that, you know, because I played with Dylan's dad, Dom was my center in Detroit, with the exception of, you know, Dylan coming in. And I know that, you know, the support behind Nebraska is incredible. And in this environment, you know, you're going to see them. I'm assuming they're going to start to invest and compete. But 5 years ago, did you really think that Nebraska was going to be is competitive in that top 12? Right? I would say it's short. It's smaller than 12 or 40 to 50. I think it's 12 to 16 teams that legitimately have a shot to say that I can take a look at the postseason that at the end of the year.
No, what I meant by 40 to 50, I kind of meant Division One is really going to be about 40 to 50 teams, and everyone else is either going to be G5 or they're just not going to exist. Like the ACC, I don't think is going to be around five to six years.
But I don't think they're going to take Nebraska, or excuse me, Northwestern along for the ride. I don't think they're going to take Maryland along for the ride. I don't think they're going to take, right? And so you start eliminating those teams from the Big Ten and from the SEC, and I think you're really only looking at maybe 16 to 24 teams. I think it's smaller than that.
Well, so that's what I was getting to, is eventually when you're talking about who is actually going to win the championship, it is a much smaller pool. I don't even think it's 16 teams. I think it's 8 to 12 at most. I do think it used to be Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and maybe one other team. So now it's expanded, I think, to 8 to 12 versus 3 to 4. But I'm just saying, as far as who all's going to even exist in what we'll see as the top end Division One, Big Ten, SEC type schools. That's what I was referring to. Not who has the best chance to win it all.
Right.
I think you're right. There's about 8 to 10 schools there.
I don't even know that those teams would exist. Unless they're bringing them along truly for the Baltimore TV market or for the, you know, the Chicago TV market. Like, I don't even know that those teams are going to exist. It's a really interesting time in college football. And I say that as an Oregon alum, you know, a team that is in that top eight that, you know, year after year, they can bring in a Dylan Gabriel and, you know, bring in a Bo Nix and bring in a Dante Moore, you know, to the point that we're going to be relevant in this time. And I can also say that I'm sad to see that, you know, the Washington States of the world. My God, we hated going to Pullman late in November, right? Because you always knew that something could happen. And that doesn't exist in college football anymore.
I think teams like, from my point of view, when they added Maryland and Rutgers to the Big Ten about 10 years or so, give or take.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily for competitive improvement. It was for the DMV market, the new New York, New Jersey market. So I don't maybe they get rid of those schools, but money, as you know, money speaks loudly. So I don't think schools like that will necessarily go anywhere. But you brought up Nebraska, Dylan Raiola, Dominic Raiola. I'm curious, what was he like as a teammate? He was your center. What was he like as a teammate?
Dom was crazy. Crazy and crazy in a good way. He's the guy that Dom would run through a wall for you. Dom was the kind of guy that was so incredibly loyal and so incredibly excited and so incredibly just committed. right? He was the type of guy that you absolutely had to have in your locker room. And he's the type of guy that as a quarterback, you were so happy to have as your center because you knew that he had your back. Dom was a special type of player. And you know what was really interesting too is to hear him talk about Nebraska and to hear him talk about those years that he spent there and the culture and the tradition. He got it. He understood, right? And that was part of, I think what part of what made him such a great player and a great teammate is he understood that it was, well, hey, you're in the NFL, you got to take care of yourself. You're trying to provide.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply in-app only.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
For your family and have the longest career you can, he understood that on the backside of that, there was also another piece, and that came from being at a place like Nebraska.
Talk to us. Good. Obviously, you played quarterback for a very long time at a high level. Talk to us about Dylan Raiola. Started as a true freshman last year, got a ton of reps, experience. This is his team. He's taken more of a leadership role this offseason going forward. What do you think is a natural progression or a realistic expectation as far as improvement for him from year one to year two as a starter?
Ooh, boy, it's an interesting question because if you'd asked me that 10 years ago, I probably would have given you a different answer, right? My answer to that is going to kind of come back to you a little bit and ask, what have they brought in around him? How have they supported him? What have they gotten from the transfer portal? You know, when we were playing, you know, I came into Oregon, sat for the first 2 years, competed, you know, for the job coming into my redshirt sophomore year, and then played the final 3 years of my career, right? But guys now, they're coming in ready to play. So I think that the ceiling for Dylan is extremely high. One, because he was such a prepared quarterback coming in. I'm assuming that Nebraska has made some off-season acquisitions in bringing in guys to support around him. You know, he needs help at the skill positions. But I also, like, so that's the one end of the spectrum, thinking like, hey, in terms of what college football is now and what these, you know, five star, these big recruit quarterbacks, how prepared they are, that the ceiling is extremely high for him. And, you know, we see it all over the country, you know, quarterbacks coming in and having success early. I think realistically, this is a step year, a growth year, a year where, you know, if you were asking 10, 15 years ago, this is the year where they're going to go, you know, they're going to go 8-4, 9-3. They're going to knock off a good team. They're probably going to lose to a bad team. Three quarters of his games are going to be pretty dang good. He's going to have a couple, you know, fantastic, you know, all American type games. And he's going to have a couple of stinkers, right? That's the old way of thinking, which honestly isn't that bad, right? If I'm looking at the long term, or I'm looking at the long game, that's what I want from Dylan. I want him to still continue to stumble a little bit and learn and grow and set himself up for, you know, future success. Now, Does a 4-year career at Nebraska, is that in the cards for him? I don't know. You know, so that window becomes shortened. You know, this is all part of this same conversation, right? The game has changed. Is he going to be there for 4 years? Is that the plan? Or will he potentially be a first round draft pick after next season? So you're expecting him to take a bigger jump this year. I think that he has an immense amount of talent that could take him to the top of college football. But you also have to remember he's what, 19? This is a kid. And he's going to have some growing pains.
Yeah, he recently turned 20. To answer your question, they brought in Kentucky's top wide receiver via the portal, Isaiah Hunter, who led Cal in three different receiving categories. He's a freshman. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. We've got Ja'Cory Barney coming back, one of the better true freshman receivers in the country. They've helped him with skill guys around him. They brought in some guys up front, Rocco Spindler, guard, a little bit of center as well from Notre Dame. So they've done their best to help him. As a national guy, when you look at Nebraska, I'm going to ask this, and I'm going to assume I already know the answer, but I'm curious what you have to say. When you say there's 8, 10, 12, maybe 16 teams that realistically have a chance to win a national title on any given year, I'm not going to argue with that, okay? Upsets are going to happen less and less in basketball and football. Do you see Nebraska as potentially one of those teams if the appropriate steps are taken? And let's say Raiola's a first-round draft pick after his third year at Nebraska.
Do I see Nebraska as one of those teams this year?
No, let's say like 2 years from now.
Next year.
2 years from now.
Next year. Okay. Yeah. Potentially in 2 years. This year, no.
Who are some of the other teams that you put in there? Penn State, Texas, Ohio State, Oregon. Who else?
Well, I mean, every year it's got to be Georgia. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm curious to see where Michigan comes back this year. I'm always curious to see where USC lands, which is just like I don't think they're going to be in there, but having, you know, grown up in the Pac-10, the Pac-12, you know, year to year, USC can be top of the table or bottom of the heap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's the same. I'm trying to think. You put me on the spot here. I was going to say Tennessee, but now Nico's gone. Milroe's gone at Alabama. I'm curious to see what happens there.
Do you see Clemson as one of those teams still?
Potentially, but probably not. I mean, you're really only looking... Oklahoma has made some big moves this offseason. You know, getting a couple guys, I believe, from Cal. I mean, there's really, I'm going to say 8 to 10 teams that have a shot. And I don't think it's too much too far outside of that right now.
What do you think is the biggest thing that Dylan needs to improve on going forward? Obviously, we've talked about talent around him, the team getting better as a whole. But when you're going from year one to year two as a starter, and you went through this, you were a little bit older as a player, okay, when you went through this, but what's the biggest thing you hope to see him improve on based on your experience as a starting quarterback in the past as well?
You have to do two things. You have to become more consistent in terms of what your floor is, right? If you're... You know, this is a completely different era of college football, but I think I completed 54% of my passes as a sophomore, and my goal was to be at 60 the next year, right? Move the chains a couple times more, right? Convert on third down. You become more consistent. You become more comfortable. That sustains drives. You sustain drives. You score more points. The flip side of that is making stupid mistakes, right? It is the ball that you throw into traffic that you shouldn't have. It's learning when to cut your losses. It's learning when to say, you know what, it's 3rd and 17, and I could try and force one over the middle, but you know what? It's probably best to punt right now. Those are the two areas where every young quarterback has to grow. And a great example of that, you know, would be Bo Nix from his time at Auburn to his 2 years at Oregon, right? He came in and, you know, was a guy who was extremely talented but couldn't quite put those things together. Year one at Oregon eliminates mistakes. Year two at Oregon becomes the all-time leader in completion percentage and simply just marched the team down the field on every drive because he was making – the smart choices, the comfortable choices. And in those few moments a game, there's going to be two or three of them every single game, right? Where the quarterback has to make a throw. And you do that because of your comfort, because of your decision-making and putting your team. And sometimes you just got to come up with a big play, right? Those are the two things. You have to eliminate the mistakes, and then you have to simply just become more consistent and convert on third down.
Dude, that is so that is so well spoken. Like, I love that. My favorite thing you said, moving the chains, making the right decision, basically live to play the next down, not making the big mistake, but raise the floor. Raise the floor. I like that
right.
A lot. That makes a lot of sense. Hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time. I was actually a senior in high school when you were a senior at Oregon, and I was at the Wisconsin game, the first game your senior year, where I think you had a quarterback sneak at the goal line.
At Autzen?
At Autzen to win that game. Do you remember that?
I do remember that game. That was, you know, it's so funny. Someone was asking me about that the other day, and we had a goal line package in. They said that time that you jumped over the lineman for a quarterback sneak on the goal line. I was like, here's what it was. The brilliance of Coach Tedford, who left after that year and went to Cal for 10 years, was all-time winningest coach at Cal. We went into an empty, we motioned out into an empty set. He would see something on tape every single week. And he said, if we motion out on the goal line and go to an empty set, they're gonna cover it with one of two ways. They're either going to bump this backer out, all right, and in which case you're going to have a gap to stand up and throw the ball to Mo, and which is what we did the first time, or they're going to run somebody out of there. And the second time they ran somebody out, and he said, if they run somebody out, you take that snap, you take a step to the left, and you jump over the top. I was like, all right. And sure enough, it happened both. We ran it twice, and both times it happened once each way. So I remember that very well.
That was my first ever official recruiting visit. And so my introduction to Autzen Stadium, I was like, man, this isn't the biggest stadium in the world, but these fans.
But it may be the loudest.
Oh, man, they love Oregon football. All right, man, I appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
You bet. Anytime.
All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.